Peace of Christ be with you.
And with you.
Happy Wednesday, Hope College. We've stepped into March. And if you're like me, this time of year, you feel a little tired. Just a little bit, which is normal. And on this day, as we are bending towards spring break, just really soon, I just want to, my pastoral word to you is that whatever you're carrying today, Christ's grace is sufficient for you today. It's enough. It's enough as we travel towards the cross, towards Easter, and we continue that journey today. We've been on this series during Lent with our covenant partners, partners with local churches and ministries in the area, and it's a great privilege to introduce my friend and colleague, Father Nick Monco, Father Nick is a dear friend. He beats me in chess every time. But what I really love about him is his heart for God, his heart for Christ, his heart for you. He's ministering on campus with us, and he's here to offer the word of God. Would you please welcome someday Dr. Father Nick Monco? Would you?
Thank you, Trigg. Thank you. It's great to be with you this Wednesday morning. I'd like to begin with a reading from the first letter of Peter, chapter 5. To the presbyters among you, I appeal as a fellow presbyter and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are young, submit yourselves to the presbyters, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The word of the Lord. In this beautiful reading, St. Peter is, I think, linking together humility and obedience, but he's also linking together obedience to God with obedience to other human beings. And I don't think this should surprise us in principle, because in the Ten Commandments it says, honor your father and mother, and that somehow that respect shown to human beings relates to our encounter and our love of God. So the humility that is shown to others grows when we have obedience, not just to God, but to these other human beings around us that God has put in the church with us. Now, one thing to say about obedience is it's not one of the sexy virtues. Courage is a sexy virtue. Everybody likes courage, looks very cool, you know. Obedience, not so much. But it's very important. You know, Jesus says in the Gospel of John at the Last Supper, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And also, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's important to Jesus. And the very heart of obedience, it comes from the Latin words ab audire, and it means to listen to what another wants from us. That's the heart of obedience. Now, I want to speak to you today, focus on the idea of this obedience in the sense of interaction with other human beings. And I want to talk a bit about my life as a Dominican friar. So most of you may not know what that means. You might be familiar with monks or nuns or that sort of thing. Well, all in the Catholic Church, all monks and nuns and friars and sisters, they're all called religious by making three promises, three vows: poverty, chastity, and obedience. And these three promises are a way that we give ourselves to God. So by poverty, I renounce any claim to calling any earthly good my own. So I give up external goods of money. Through celibate chastity, give up the opportunity for marriage and children and any kind of sexual relations. And so it's a way of giving my body to God. And the third is obedience. And that's submitting myself to human superiors within the Dominican orders is the group that I have joined. And what that means practically is quite a lot, that when you take a vow of obedience, you don't decide where you're going to live or what work you're going to do or who you're going to live with or the rhythm of your life, you know, the schedule that, you know, the house you live in is going to take. All of those things are decided by the community and by superiors. Now, if I asked you, which of these three vows, poverty, chastity, or obedience, which is the hardest to live? I'm guessing most of you would probably think numero dos, chastity. But if you, let's be honest, you know, okay. but if you took a survey of people in religious life, of monks and nuns and friars, the number one answer, I bet you 90% would say the number one answer, the most difficult vow to live is obedience. Because that's the one that cuts deepest. You know, poverty is about money. Chastity is about your body. But obedience goes to your very will, the things that you will choose to do. And that is really tough. When I was 6 years old, first grade was right on the horizon, and I told my nanny at the time, why do I have to go to school? I already know everything. I told, about 20 years later, I told that story to the Dominican priest in charge of us seminarians, and he said, Nick, I really don't think your policy has changed much at all. So obedience is tough. It's tough. But it is something that is really fruitful. And just three things that I've noticed from obedience, you know, the first is that in obedience to my superiors, I've gotten to do things, wonderful things that I wouldn't otherwise get to do or wouldn't have thought of doing. Like being a chaplain and doing campus ministry here at Hope College. I did not look for this job. This job found me. And my superior said, check it out, apply. So I did. And I was going for the interview, and I said, if they offer me the job, am I taking it? Yes. That was that, you know? But it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful being here. But it's not the thing that the job that I would have found on my own. But that's part of the blessing of obedience. A second blessing or second fruit has been peace. And I've noticed those times in Dominican life when I have been most rooted in the idea of obedience and the sense that at the end of the day, whatever my superiors say, it's really God who is controlling this whole thing. It's God's providence who is ordering my life and deciding where I'm going to go. When I've been most grounded in that idea, I've just had this deep sense of peace. That I am where I'm supposed to be. I first really encountered it in a profound way when I was doing an internship year at Purdue University. And I just had the sense that I was supposed to be there. And I worked a tremendous amount of hours. I don't think I took a day off between September and April. But I didn't feel tired on the inside. I felt refreshed and renewed, knowing, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I could just give my heart to my work totally. And that was awesome. And the third fruit, and this relates to humility, because humility is just knowing the truth about ourselves. The thing that I found about obedience is it is an act of trust in God. It's like a marriage, making a marriage vow. I mean, it's a huge act of trust. And one thing that obedience has shown me is how little I trust God. You know, in taking the vow of obedience, I didn't decide where I was going to go to seminary. That was chosen for me. And I really didn't get to choose the professors at the seminary. You just sort of had to take what you could get. And that meant that 4 years into the seminary process, I had to go through this process to get on the official graduation track for the seminary. And it's called candidacy. And, you know, it happened that there was one or a few faculty who really didn't like me. And the knives came out. And the day before Thanksgiving, I got a letter from my seminary telling me that I had been rejected from the graduation track. And that was devastating, because then it also endangered my position in the order. I wasn't yet committed. I hadn't yet made a commitment for life, and the order had not made a commitment to me. And this was a devastating sort of blow. And it caused me to delay that commitment for 1 year. And the problem with that was a lot of the older friars that I lived with, who were big supporters of mine, left. A lot of them. Gone. And then we got a new provincial, and I'm like, there's no way he's going to like me. You know, so he's gonna put the veto stamp on that one. And I just had to say to God at a certain point, Lord, if you want this to happen, you've got to make it happen, because I see no way that I can do this. And he made it work. I got an overwhelming vote of support. The provincial happily approved me, God knows how, and here I am. But it showed me, the real lesson of the time is, it showed me how little I trusted in God, and that I needed to come to him once again in humility to ask for that grace. So St. Peter ends his talk by saying, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And I think part of the way we cast that anxiety on him, and we can do that confidently, is when we are truly obedient in our hearts, knowing that if we follow his plan, at the end of the day, it's going to work out. And may that thought, may the spirit of peace and obedience be in your hearts this day. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless Hope College.